And then the second room I want you to label is called body. And that's your physical health, anything you do to care for your body. So that would be exercise, nutrition. It might even be creams and lotions and the ways that you care for your skin. Whatever kinds of routines you have to care for your body. And then the next room is beloved. And so those are the beloved ones in your life. So that might be your mother, your father, your siblings, your spouse, your children, extended family, people that you love and are related to you. Then find another room, then you can label best friends. And those would be your closest friends. Those would be people you spend time with. These are people that you process life with, like you're thinking through, you're mentoring each other, you're discovering things together, you're encouraging each other to try things. They're the ones you want their opinion of whatever's going on in your life. They're the ones that support you when you're going through something difficult. So they love you no matter what. And then the next room we want to label budget. So this is how you spend your money. So that would be finances or how you spend your time. And then the next one is business. So this is running your household, your job outside of your home, volunteer work that you do. And then the last room, and it's not the least room, but often it's the one that gets set aside because we're so busy, is be renewed. Be renewed. And so this is ways that you rest or relax or get re-energized. So things that, make you excited and help refresh you. So those are the rooms. So there are seven rooms there. So, okay, now I'm going to ask you some questions so you can think about your heart. So the first one is Christ at home in your heart? Or is Christ still knocking and wanting you to invite him into your home? He doesn't barge in. He waits for your invitation. If he already lives in your home, does he have freedom to enter every room, to look in every closet, every drawer, every corner, every part of your home? Have you given him permission to sit with you in every room or ask him to stand only in the hallway? Or perhaps he has freedom to be with you in the formal places of your home, but is he free to wander and go anywhere he desires? So now you can use your pen again and place a cross in the room where Christ has free access anytime he desires. So take a few minutes and do that. Place a cross in the room where Christ has free access anytime he desires. All right, so which rooms do you not allow him to come into and why? So just think about that. Don't answer me, but just think about it in your heart. Which rooms do you not allow him to come in and why? Were some rooms easier than others to place a cross in? And why were some rooms hard? Think about that for a minute. So I want you to take just a minute and think about that. And then, I don't know, can you pair up at your tables? Can you help them pair up, mentor moms? And then we can be in twos and just share with each other in twos, like what you discover from that exercise. Started in sharing. So every time I do that exercise, I discover something different. Like, I would really like all of the rooms in my heart to be open to Jesus, but sometimes I find myself pulling some of those rooms back and thinking, I want to control them. Or I want to make them perfect before I give him an opportunity. Sometimes, I just know I can't do a thing, and I'm desperate to have him come in every room and take control and make it the way he wants it to be. What was that like for you to think about your heart? Because maybe one or two of you can share. What was that like for you? Did you learn something new? Anybody? Were you challenged or encouraged? I see heads nodding. So we'll be satisfied with that. So yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing when you stop and think about what's going on in my heart. Because we can just keep going with life, and we neglect our hearts, or you know, we find that we're in a situation where we're doing it all, and we're really not letting Jesus be in control like we'd like him to be. Well, I want to share with you three things that I learned right away after becoming a believer. And then two more that I have learned along the way and am still learning. And so the first one is that I learned it's impossible to live the Christian life. Jesus has to live it through me. And one of the first verses that I learned and really hung on to was Galatians 2:20. That says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ is living his life through me. So sometimes when I think, okay, I've got to do this Christian life myself, I need to be reminded that no, it's not me, but it's Jesus who lives in me. Another verse that goes along with that I think really supports it is John 15:4-5. It says, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It says, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. So I'm not interested in doing nothing. I'd really like to be bearing much fruit. And I'm not really interested in the frustration that comes when I'm trying to bear the fruit myself. And so it's encouraging to me to be reminded that Jesus is the one who's living his life through me. If I'm abiding in him, then like the fruit on an apple tree, it grows naturally. So I need to be abiding in Christ. What I would love to do, but we don't have time, is for you guys to just talk at the table. And maybe you could at the end. This was not a question I thought about when I was giving them questions, but what does it mean, or what does it look like to abide in Christ? You guys can talk about that and think about that. What does it mean, what does it look like? And we probably all have different ideas of what it means, or maybe there's a sense of time when you have felt like you were really abiding in Christ, and maybe you can remember what were you doing that helped give you that sense. How are you spending your time? What was on your mind? What were your thoughts? So the second thing that I learned right away was that God sent his Spirit to live in those who believe in Jesus, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is such an important concept to be aware that God has given his gift, the gift of his Spirit to dwell in you. The moment you place your trust in Jesus as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. And the Holy Spirit is part of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're one. And everything they do together. So when the Holy Spirit dwells you and lives within you, the whole Godhead empowers you to be able to live the life that God has called you to. And to be able to enjoy the life that God has called you to. So we need to abide in Christ. That's how Jesus lives his life through us. And the Holy Spirit is the power that enables us to do that. And then Galatians 5:22-23 is a very familiar passage. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where I've tried to make those things true of me. You know, I want to be real loving. I want people to think I'm loving. I want to have joy. I want to have peace. You guys ever feel like that? Like life is out of control and there's no peace. There's no calm. Well, I want to have peace. I want to be kind. You know, all of these things are really, really good things to aspire to. But it's the beginning of that verse says it's the fruit of the Spirit. And it's even a capital S Spirit in the Bible. And so that's pointing us to it's God's Spirit, and this is the fruit of Him. So He's the one who does the work. He's the one who builds this kind of character into who we are. And He's the one when we need to be patient and there's no patience left. He's the one that enables you to still be patient when you need it with your children, with your husband, with whoever, you know, is in your life. So that's the spirit of character. That's the fruit of character being developed in me. Another fruit that's developed in us as believers is in Acts 1:8. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So as believers, we have the opportunity to let others know what we know about Jesus, so that they can have a relationship with Him like we have. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who comes and empowers us to be able to do that. So the Holy Spirit helps us to produce fruit, character fruit, in that we grow and mature in Him, but also fruit of witnessing as we get to reflect to the world a Savior that the world so desperately needs to know and to hear. And this is the perfect season to be about making Jesus known to the world, because they're looking, what's the real meaning of Christmas? And we can tell them. Nobody knows but us, but we can tell them. Okay, so the third thing that I learned is the Bible can be trusted. It's a source of wisdom and truth. So when I first came to know the Lord, I had people tell me, you know, Jesus is okay, but the Bible, you can't trust it. But I wanted to know what I could learn about Jesus, and I didn't have another source. And so I looked into God's Word, and I got into Bible studies, and I was with people who were studying God's Word, and after a while, I believed that it was true. After a while of studying it, I understood that it was true, and it could be trusted, and it really does have God's best for us, can be found in there. So Hebrews 4:12 is the verse that I chose for us tonight from under that is, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and of spirit, of joints, of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Of the heart. And that's what we've been talking about. So the word of God discerns what's happening in my heart. When I don't know what's happening in my heart, I can come to Him and say, help me, I'm confused here. There seems to be chaos where there should be joy. There seems to be anxiety where there should be peace. So can you help me? And so we can come to the Lord and He does that for us. So the two other things that I want to mention are things that I learned further along in the journey of following Christ that are extremely helpful to my heart. And one is spiritual growth takes place in community with God's people. Let me say it again because it's that important. Spiritual growth takes place in community with God's people. If you would stop and think about the things that you've learned or the times where you felt like you were growing, I would guess that it's been in the context of a small group Bible study. Or small group around the table at Mom's, or a setting similar to that, where women who have been looking at God's word and begin to share with each other what they're learning, or you've been kind of mulling over what you've been reading in God's word, and you come to a group, and even if you never said anything, somebody else says it and affirms for you, oh, that's what that means. Oh, that's how I can apply it to my life. Oh, that's how I can walk a little closer with the Lord. And so even though I didn't know it at the beginning when I was learning those three other things, that Jesus wants to live his life through me, that the Holy Spirit was given to empower my life, and that God's word is true and could be trusted, even when I didn't know it, I was learning those things in community. I was learning those things at church. I was learning those things in small groups. And so it is so valuable, and I commend you for being here tonight and every Monday, each month that this happens, because it's another opportunity for you to be encouraged and strengthened in your walk with the Lord. It's another time where you can care for your heart and help keep pursuing it, even when life is crazy and chaotic. So the last thing I wanted to share with you is that prayer is another thing that the Lord's been kind of teaching me as I continue to walk with him. And that prayer is a life-changing tool that God uses to encourage my heart. In personal times of prayer, when I'm just by myself crying out to the Lord, worshiping him, just enjoying him, or in prayer with others in groups, or even in one-on-one prayers, or just a couple together. It's just a sweet time to think that the God of the universe, the creator of the world and everything in it, really wants to hear from me. He cares what's on my heart and what's in my mind. And so what a gift that is, that we get to pray. And then praying through scripture has just been such a delight. Looking at reading through the Psalms, or even just reading through whatever it is we're studying, and praying that back to the Lord, you know, when you're learning it, and say, oh, you know, wow, is this what you said? It's like a conversation you get to have with him, and then you thank him for it. So it's just a really sweet way to renew and strengthen our hearts. So don't neglect those two things. Being in community with others who love the Lord and are worshiping him, and then spending time in prayer, alone and with another person, in small groups. You know, as young moms, this is a perfect time to find a friend who you can call once a week and say, hey, let's pray together for our children. And it just reminds you that it's not you who's got to make this happen, but it's God who's doing the work through you, and what an honor it is to walk with him. So another little book that I really like is called My Heart, Christ Home. You might have seen it. It's an old book. And it's actually a man who wrote it. But he writes it he takes you through different rooms in his heart, in his house, like the living room or the work room, or the library, or the dining room, you know, which is similar to what we did as we looked at that heart. But I just want to read a couple of things here. And actually, on the little sheet that you have, the heart in your home, there's a, what do you call that thing, Megan?
QR code.
Okay, there you go. There's a QR code. And you can use your phone and find it, and it's a PDF that's available to you. So you don't have to go buy the book. You can just pull it up on your computer or on your phone and read it. And he's walking the Lord through his house. And he's sometimes he's ashamed of things that are there. And finally, he gives up in terms of trying to make everything perfect for the Lord. And he transfers the title of his home, of his heart, to the Lord. And I'm just going to read a little bit. It says, then a thought came to me. I said to myself, I've been trying to keep this heart of mine clean and available for Christ, but it's hard work. I start on one room, and no sooner have I cleaned it than I discover another room's dirty. I begin on the second room, and the first one is already dusty again. I'm getting tired trying to maintain a clean heart. Do you sometimes feel like that in your home? You get one room clean, and then the other one, and then the first one's dirty again. Well, this is how he was feeling, too. He says, I'm just not up to it. Suddenly I ask, Lord, is there a possibility that you'd be willing to manage the whole house and operate it for me just as you did that closet? So earlier he talked about a closet. Could I give to you the responsibility of keeping my heart what it ought to be and myself doing what I ought to be doing? So he's realizing the importance of Jesus living his life through him and making his heart what it ought to be and him doing what he ought to do. And that's where we are. We are in a place, and no matter where you are in your walk with the Lord, no matter how long you've been walking with the Lord, you still need Jesus to be on the throne or in control of what happens in your life and in your heart, particularly in your mind and in your heart, so that you can love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for this privilege of taking a few minutes just to think about what you've done in our lives and to ask you to continue to do the work. Help us to abide in you. Help us to understand what that means so that we can produce the fruit that you want to produce through us. Thank you so much for your word, for the Spirit, for prayer, for Jesus dying on the cross. Make it possible for us to be in relationship with you. Make it possible for us to be cleansed and forgiven. Father, thank you for this season. Thank you for each of these women that represents a family that they are giving leadership to along with their husbands. Pray that you would equip them. My particular prayer tonight, Father, is not so much what they can produce or what they can do, but my prayer is for their hearts, that they would be filled with love for you, that you would fill their hearts with yourself, and that you'll empower them to just be all that you created them to be, that they could relax, that they could rest in your love, that they could trust you and walk closely with you. What a privilege that is. Thank you for giving us that opportunity. So, Father, thank you for the season and pray that you would just keep us walking close to you through the season. That as we get busy with all kinds of things, that you would help us to stop and pause and allow you to continue doing work in our hearts. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you.